excited to be able to share with you guys for a few minutes here. We're going to be talking about a power encounter. Pastor Mark, last Sunday, started us off on this series. And so I'm going to continue. And so I just have really just a few thoughts that I want to share with you. Pretty simple message today. But again, it goes actually right along with what, isn't it amazing how God just is in control of everything? And when he's speaking, he's not only speaking. I've learned this, that it's kind of one of the interesting things is sometimes when I'll go to conferences with other pastors and we'll get to talking about, well, hey, what are you talking about? What have you been preaching about? What has God been doing with you? It's so interesting that you get a group of pastors together that you will find that God is speaking the same word. Because light is like revelation, okay? And revelation is like light. Everybody can see it as long as you get up to, you know, that's where revelation is, right? When that sun comes up. And so it's just amazing that God is speaking and we want to listen. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about a spiritual encounter, a power encounter with God. And this is one of the subjects that I just love to talk about. If there is a favorite subject of mine, this would be right up there with it. Talking about having an encounter with God, because I believe that every one of us need an encounter with God. We need to know Jesus Christ for ourselves. We need to experience Him, the experience of others. I love the testimonies that I can hear from my mother and all that, and I'm thankful. The testimonies I've heard that was relayed about my father, the great things that God did for them, and that's wonderful and awesome, but I need my own encounter with God. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? What I just want to share this just really from my heart this morning is that you can be sitting next to somebody. Somebody can bring you to church, and you can even come into a worship experience on a Sunday morning. But you yourself need to have an encounter with God. Somebody else's encounter will not do. Somebody said, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. You got to learn, amen, to connect with Him. And so what I would like to say with this is that you can come week after week, and you can sit at LifeSong or whatever church you attend, and you can take good notes, and you can follow along in the outline, and you can try to, you know, do the Christian thing. But I want to tell you that this Christian life is more than just principles. It's more than just precepts. It is spiritual. And for those of you that have a tendency to fall on the side of the intellect and just, you know, you have to process everything, that this is a little bit harder message for you. But I want to just encourage you that God is a spirit. And if we're going to connect with Him, it's going to be through spirit and truth, the Bible says. Amen? All right. And so, I'm thankful that God wants to speak to us. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about how God was speaking with them, and they were having all these emotions going on. They couldn't quite figure it out. And I told them, I said, listen, blessed be the day that God messes with you. Blessed be the day that God just begins to stir something up in your heart. You're not for sure what it is. You just know that there's more. You just know that God has something good for you. Amen? I don't ever want God to leave me alone. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, I want God to mess with me. I want God to stir me up. I want God to do something in my spirit that calls me into deeper places. As Bethany said in that prophecy this morning, a deeper waters. We want to go out into the deep. Amen. And so, I believe this with all my heart, that when you became a Christian, you didn't just become a Christian just to study about religion. You became a Christian so that you could become a lover of God, so that you could know Jesus intimately. Amen? And it's very easy for us, church, to slip in just to rules and formulas and methodology and just all the outward signs. But I really want to know Him. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him intimately. I want to find that secret place that the Scripture talks about, the secret place with God. And so we're excited about that. And so I want to read you this verse. This is a verse that is just stirring in my spirit. This is the verse that is I'd like to share with you today. This is in Psalms 103, is one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, one of the most beautiful chapters. But right in the middle of that chapter is this verse, in verse 7. And it's so easy just to read this verse and just to skip on by, but I want to just kind of take a little bit closer look at this verse today. In Psalms 103, in verse 7, it says, "He made known His ways to Moses." Say, "His ways." To Moses. "And His acts," everybody say, "His acts." To the children of Israel. And so I want to just talk about this and maybe try to just bring some, a little bit of light maybe, and just kind of contrast what God did with Moses. He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. And so this verse is telling us that God revealed Himself to Israel and to Moses. But He revealed Himself in different ways. To Moses, it was more of a personal way. And to the children of Israel, it was through acts or through His deeds. And we see that every one of these, the people of Israel that came through, and God did great things in bringing them out of Egypt and the great miracles. And they saw the miracles of God. They saw the plagues that God brought down on the Egyptian people. He brought it down on the Egyptian people, but spared the Israelite people. As a nation, they saw that. They saw the cloud that God protected them at night, and the fire at night and the cloud during the day that protected them when they were in the wilderness. Just an amazing thing, amen? A miracle. They watched the chariot wheels from Pharaoh's army fall off in the middle of the Red Sea, and they watched as they made it through on dry land, but the Egyptian army perished in the Red Sea, drowned in the Red Sea, a miracle. They saw when they were thirsty, they saw the miracle. When they were thirsty and they were in the wilderness, they had nothing to drink, and God caused water to come out of a rock, a miracle. They saw the wonders. They saw the mighty acts, but only Moses knew why God was doing these things. I love this verse. It said, "He made known His ways." There's a personal, there's a friendship, there's a relationship there that the Scripture, I think, is trying to tell us. That He made known His ways, His intimacy with Moses. But the children of Israel, they just saw His acts. They just saw the wondrous deeds. They were spectators of the miracles. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of Christians can fall into the same category. That we can testify. We've seen God do great things and maybe miracles. And we hear of the reports and all that. But my question to you is, do we really know Him? Is it possible to sit in church week after week and hear messages and hear about God without really knowing Him? Is it possible to be around it? Is it possible to be surrounded and maybe even see the mighty hand of God, but never really know God intimately? He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. I think when you talk about the ways of God, it talks about what God values. It speaks again of relationship. Amen. And the problem is, if we just know God through His acts, a lot of times we will end up worshiping the miracles that God does instead of the miracle maker. We can get our focus just switched off, and we can begin to chase the blessings of God without pursuing God Himself. Amen. We see this with the children of Israel. They so easily slipped into this. And I just want to tell you, don't ever be satisfied with just seeing miracles. Don't ever be satisfied with just, you know, being a spectator and seeing the great things of God that He does. Get to know Him. Get to know Him intimately. Always pursue more of God. I want to talk to you today just about having an power encounter with God. Amen. I want to know Him. And so the question is, what's the difference between Moses and the rest of the people? What was it? Why did Moses know the ways of God where the children of Israel, the people of Israel, only knew the acts or the deeds of God? What was it? Was God, you know, did he play favoritism? Did he just love Moses more? What made Moses and the people of God different from all the other peoples of the earth? And just kind of look at the separation of why did Moses know God? It just seemed like he had an intimacy. The Bible said, matter of fact, it tells us in Exodus that Moses talked to the Lord as a friend talks to a friend. Amen. Why is it? Because when you look at Moses and you look at Moses and the children of Israel, the people of Israel, and you see the differences in their life. Isn't it interesting with the children of Israel? Every time something happens and something goes wrong, what do they want to do? They want to go back. Are you with me? You guys with me, right? Remember when they're in the wilderness and they're a little hungry, and so they get mad at Moses and they start complaining and talk about all the good food that they had back there in Egypt, right? They complain, you know, when the Pharaoh's armies were chasing them, Moses, why did you just bring us out here to die? You know, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? Why do we have to come out here and die? Why was it? Why was it? Because, you know, the thing is they were in slavery. They were in bondage. The children of Egypt were in bondage. The interesting thing is that Moses never wanted to go back. And Moses was the prince of Egypt. He had the wealth. He had the money. He had all that, and yet he realized, that's nothing there for me. Can I tell you the difference? Is that Moses had an encounter with God. Moses knew God. Moses met God. He met God on the backside of a desert. He had an encounter with God. Can I tell you something, church, please? That when you have an encounter with God, it'll change your life. You won't want to go back to the old way of living. Those old things, you'll realize, will never satisfy you. You will be pursuing one thing only, and you'll be pursuing Jesus Christ. You'll be wanting more and more of Him. Your desire and your affection will be for Him, because there will be something in you that says, listen, I know. When you just have an encounter with God, it just changes your life. You are marked. Amen. When Moses was on the backside of the desert, he saw the fire and he drew near to God. He met the living God. And this is the first point on your outline. I just gave you a couple here. And talking about how to have an encounter with God. It's come close. This is my first one. It's come close when others are afraid. The interesting thing is Moses, when he saw the fire, when he saw the bush that was on fire, he came close. Later on, we're going to see in Scripture where the children of Israel, where Moses is going to take them out to meet God, just like he met God. He wanted them to have their own encounter with God. So he says, listen, God wants to meet with you. Come to the mountain. And when they come to the mountain, if you remember the story in Exodus in chapter 19, there's this great thunder and the fire of God and the smoke of God and the trumpet of God. And what do the people do? They stand back and say, no way. That dude is scary. Moses, you go talk to him. And Moses is like, no, listen. You need to encounter him. You need to meet him. Amen. So my first point of this is just come close when others are afraid. I want to tell you that God is calling us, Bethany, I don't know where you're at, but that was a word from God. She didn't even know what I was talking about today or speaking about today. But God is calling us to come close to Him. He's calling us to come deeper into deeper waters. Amen. To pursue Him. And there's a tendency when you don't understand things and you just say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not really even for sure what you're really talking about. Can I just tell you, just pursue Him anyways. Just go after it. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Just pursue God. God is good. Come on, somebody say amen. How many want to just to know Him better. Amen. How many want to get a little closer to Him? Honestly, you say, yes, I really, Pastor, I want to know Him. I don't want to just know about Him. I want to know Him. Amen. Amen. You know, it's interesting about that bush when it was on fire, and it was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And you know, that's a little strange, you know? Isn't that a little different? Strange, this bush, Moses, when he saw this bush, it was on fire, which that's not strange, but what was strange is it wasn't burning up. A little strange, a little weird maybe even, you know. But Moses said this, he says, you know what, I'm going to have to go over there and check this out. This is kind of a strange thing. I'm going to go see about this. And what I wanted to say is there's some times that we may not even understand everything, but you feel something in your spirit calling you to deeper waters, to draw closer to God. And at first, maybe you're thinking, man, I don't know. This might be a little strange, might be a little weird. I'm not used to people standing up and worshiping and, you know, lifting their hands like that. And, you know, this, you know, to some people who are not used to it could be strange. But can I just tell you, come near. Just check Him out. Amen, because He is good. Would you just turn to somebody and say, He's good. Amen, all right. John 4:24, I said this earlier, I read this verse earlier, that God is a spirit and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So what this verse is saying is that you can't always just worship God in the natural. Some things are just spiritually discerned. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the what? Spirit of God. For to him they are what? Foolishness. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you're going to have to connect with Him at a spiritual level. If you're going to have an encounter with God, and I believe that every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ needs to have your own personal encounter with God where you meet Him, amen? Where you get to know Him intimately, amen. Sometimes God will use something unusual to catch our attention and draw us to Himself. He delights sometimes in using the unusual and the strange and even strange means to speak to us, drawing us away from the mundane routine of our lives. Matter of fact, last Sunday, there was a missionary that was here, and missionary couple, and they came over our house afterwards, and we were talking to him, and he told us about three visions that he had right in the middle of the service. I don't want to remember them all, honey. You might remember them more than I, but I mean, a couple of them were strange, but they had meaning to them. Sometimes, are you guys okay? You guys are looking at me like, man, I'm strange. Okay. God wants to speak to us. Sometimes it doesn't always make sense to us, but I'm just going to encourage you, just go after it and pursue God. Amen. Don't worry if it doesn't all make sense and you don't have it all figured out, because the things of the Spirit, you're not going to be able to figure out with this head up here. Because that's natural. Amen. Amen. Number two is turn aside when others turn away. And what I mean about that is that Moses, he turned aside. Instead of just, you know, saying, man, that's weird, and kept on going, he turned aside. He went over to see. He went over to see this bush that was on fire. And I've taught this a lot here at this church, but I'm going to tell you, it wasn't until Moses turned aside to see what was happening that God spoke to him. That's one of the biggest revelations I've ever received in my life. To me, that's a huge revelation. Is that as long as Moses was just looking at it, and if he would have just kept on going, I don't believe that he would have ever heard the voice. But it said that when he turned aside, matter of fact, let's read it. You guys ready? Exodus. You guys okay? Exodus 3 says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jericho, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within the bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see what? Just look at somebody and say, that's kind of strange. Would you do that? Why does this bush does not burn up? Next verse. And when the Lord saw, look at this. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that make you think about how many times you've missed it? Am I the only one that thinks that? Or do you guys ever, are you tracking with me here? I mean, we're just getting a little busy. We've got our schedules. We got our family duties. We got our work duties. We got our ministry duties. And sometimes we just miss him. We just walk on by. And God is doing something mighty and he's trying to get our attention and he's just waiting for us. There's this verse that blows my mind. Blows my mind. I don't know if I put it in there or not. I don't think I did. But it's in Luke. And what it is, it's where, let me see, I might have it in there. Yeah, Mark 6:48. Is that up there? Yeah, Mark 6:48. This is when the disciples, okay, just stay with me. This is when the disciples, they're on the boat and there's a great wind. And they're it's not going good for them. And this is talks about Jesus. He says, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. Do I have the next part of that up there? Go ahead. Did I put 49? Or I didn't. No, okay. That just blows my mind. It wasn't until they called, the next verse said, they called out to him. He was going to pass them by. He was waiting for them to say, listen, I am walking by. Strange. Somebody say that's strange. When you see somebody walking on the water. Right? It's a little weird even, right? Out of the ordinary. He was waiting for, he intended to pass them by. He was just waiting for them to call out to him. I am telling you that there are times in our life, I believe it's right now. I believe the Spirit is saying right now that God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to say, listen, hello somebody. Are you here? I'm reaching for you. I want you to know me. I don't want you just to know about me. I want you to know me intimately. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, when he begins to speak to us and disturb us and mess with us a little bit, and we get to thinking, man, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Everything's been going okay for me. What are you talking about? There's more. There's more of God. We can know him more intimately. Amen. Moses had a hunger for God. That's number three. Hunger when others are full. Have a sense of hungry. Be hungry when others are full. You know what I love about Moses? We're contrasting him again with the people of Israel. Is that he wanted. Now, you know, this is so interesting for me because he met God. He saw the bush. The bush was on fire. He heard the voice of God speaking. But you know what? That wasn't enough for him. You know what he said? He said, I want to see your glory. I've seen the fire. I've seen the fire of God. I've seen the bush. Are you guys still with me? You guys remember the story where he says, but God, show me your glory. I want to see you. I am not satisfied with just an experience. I'm not just satisfied with just something that is out of the ordinary, something that, you know, is a miracle. God, I want to know you intimately. Show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me. I love that. Can I just tell you something? Church, protect your hunger. Protect your hunger Guard your hunger. Stay hungry for God. When others are full and when others are satisfied and they've said, no, I'm good, I'm good. You ever hear anybody say that? I'm good, I'm cool, I'm good. Listen, when it comes to the things of God, don't ever say, I'm good. Say, I'm hungry for more. I want more of God in my life. I've had encounters with God. I've had moments with God. But you know what? I want something fresh. I want something new. Amen. You know what we have to do about protecting our hunger? Is we have to watch what we're filling ourselves up with. I had a confession at small group on Friday night. Some of my small groups here, don't be laughing at me. It was a serious confession, Rebecca. My confession was, I told them, I said, you know, I have an addiction. And my addiction is to the news media, to yahoo.com. I am constantly on my iPhone or on my computer, going online, checking the news, and just constant. I like the media. I don't know. It's terrible. It's a sin. It has to be. Anyways, but I was telling him, I said, listen, I'm serious about this. I find myself when I just kind of always looking at the news. And I can't get enough. I'll go to USA Today. I'll go to the Drudge Report. I'll go to the Huffington Post. I mean, I'll go to anything I can find. I just keep going and going and going, getting more and more news. Pray for me, church. Pray for me. You guys look so holy right now, and I look so terrible. Don't we fill ourselves up with just stuff? Maybe it's something else for you that you fill yourself up. Man, I asked him, I said, listen, I want you to pray for me. I'm serious. It's something that is difficult for me. It's almost like an addiction. It's like I pick up the phone. It's so hard for me not to go there. Isn't that terrible? Pray for me. Yes, pray for me. Amen. Thank you. We have to be careful what we're filling ourselves up with. Let me go. Let me read you this verse, Revelation 3:17. It says this, you say that I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, you are pitiful, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. Look at Psalms 86:1. I got to wrap this up. Psalms 86:1. This is David. King David said, hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. How can a king that leaves millions of dollars in gold and silver to his son say that I am poor and I am needy? Have servants, big palace, all of that stuff. How can somebody, a king, say I am poor and I am needy? Because he understood that he needed more of God in his life. There was something in David that he had a heart after God. He said, you know, God, I'm not full. I need more of you, God. I don't want to fill myself up with that stuff. I realize that stuff will never satisfy. I am poor and I am needy. I am in need of you, God. I want more of you in my life. Hunger is your spiritual thermometer. Amen. Protect it. That's what God is speaking to me right now. He's spanking me all over, and it's good. I need it. Okay. The last one is choose the presence of God when others choose comfort. Again, I just keep looking at the difference. What's the difference between Moses? He knew the ways of God, and the people of Israel, they just knew the acts of God. What was different? What they always wanted was the comfort. They wanted God to bless them. And as long as God was blessing them, they would say, thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is great. As long as he was blessing them. But as soon as a couple days went by and there was a little bit of trouble, we don't want this kind of God. We want a God that we can control. So we'll just make a calf. We'll form our own God. Somebody that's lower than us. A calf, lower than man, that we can control, that we can manage. Man. When I was reading about that today, this morning, going over my notes, I'm like, oh, God, that's so much like me. Don't we have a tendency when things are going good to praise God? And then as soon as something goes bad, we just start thinking, God, why have you forsaken me? What I love about Moses is Moses said this, and I'll close with this. Exodus 33, verse 1. The Lord was so tired of their complaining and their whining. He brought them out of Egypt. He loaded them down with gold and silver. He gave them miracle after miracle, provided food, provided manna, water. I mean, just provided amazing things for them. And they kept complaining. And then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and your and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to your descendants. Go up to the land flowing. Listen to this. Go to the land. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are stiff-necked people. You ever meet somebody like that? And I will destroy you on the way. God says, listen, go ahead. You can have my blessing, but I'm not going with you. If that's all you want is your comfort, and that's what you want to choose is just your comfort, as long as you're happy, you're going to worship me, then go ahead. I will give you land. I'll give you milk and honey. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you green. I'll give you vegetation. I'll give you homes. You can have it, but I'm not going with you. Look at Moses, verse 15. That's what he says. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. What is here? What does that mean when he says, do not send us up from here? What is here? Here is desert. Here is lack. Here is heat. Are you with me? Here is a place of, you know, trying to go from place to place just to find water for a couple million people. He said, listen, no, Lord, we'll stay here. We'll stay in the place of struggle. We'll stay in the place of lack as long as you're with us. Lord, no, we don't want the milk and honey. That's not what we want you. You know why Moses could say that? Moses could say that because he had an encounter with God. Would you stand with me today? As long as you have an encounter with God, if you'll get an encounter with God, it'll change your life. Say, Pastor, again, I'm not for sure exactly what you're talking about. I know God. God is my Savior. He's my Lord and my Savior. I made Him my Lord and Savior. What else are you talking about? I'm talking about that there is more that God has for you. God is a Spirit. And God wants to just pour out His Spirit on this place. Where is your hunger level at? Are you full? Or can you come into this place like David said, oh, I am poor. I am needy. I am in need of you, oh God. I'm in need of you, oh God. That's what I want to have in my heart. Amen. Don't we want that? We want to have that Spirit that says, oh, God, I want more of you. I'll take the desert as long as you're with me. Amen. It scares me to death when I read that verse. It says that Moses knew the ways of God, but the people just knew the acts of God. Like, oh God, please, oh God, don't let us just know about you. Don't let us just be interested in the miracles and the blessings and all that. God, help us to want to know you intimately, oh God. Amen. Sharice was singing that song, Alone, Alone with You, just to worship you. I love what John Bevere says. John Bevere says, he says, a lot of people think that the reason why God brought them out of Egypt was to take them to the promised land. But that's not what the Bible says. God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Why? Come on, anybody help me? Worship me. I want to meet with them. I want them to know me. I want to know them. I want intimacy with them. The promised land, that's just the blessing. That's just on top of it. But I want to come and meet me. Like you, Moses. Like you met me. I want take them, bring them out so that they can worship me. Oh, worship is intimacy, isn't it? Amen. Amen. If you want more of God today, let me back up. Let me say it this way. I'm going to just ask if there's anybody here that you say, you know what? I want to be refilled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want just to be renewed in my spirit once again. I want something fresh. Oh, I've had great encounters with God, but man, I want something fresh. If that's you, would you just come? Would you come over here and stand with me? Would you do that? Thank you. Would you come? I want you to just come and stand on this side right here. On my left side. Just come and stand. Say, I want to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. I want to be renewed. I want a fresh anointing. Amen. And then today, if you're here, you say, you know what, Pastor, I want to be baptized in the Spirit. I never experienced that. I've never spoken tongues. I've never had that experience in my life. I don't really even understand it. But man, it may even sound strange to me a little bit, but man, I want it. I just want more of God. If that's what He has for me, I want it. If that's for you, would you just come on this side? I want to pray for you on this side today. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome.